Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. One of the problems we face as a community and faced by many communities is the lack of understanding or familiarity some neighborhoods have with neighboring populations. The St. Louis Association of Community Organizations, SLACO, is trying to do something about that by helping St. Louis residents get to know others with different life experiences. It's called Neighborhoods United for Change. Joining me to talk about it are Kevin McKinney, SLACO's Executive Director, Charles Bryson is Executive Director of St. Louis City's Civil Rights Enforcement Agency, and Rodney Norman is a West End resident and participant in Neighborhoods United for Change. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kevin, let me begin with you. What are you trying to do here and why?
Well, SLACO has a conference every year. It's called the SLACO's Regional Neighborhood Conference. So in 2015, they had the conference. And what came out of the 2015 conference was the fact that we needed to start talking to neighbors to neighbors. There was a gentleman named Doug Bram. He came up with this idea. It was really started out as 250 ways to improve our neighborhood. And he won the contest. So we took that from what he said and his things that he wanted to do. And the former executive director, Nancy Thompson, tried to develop this program. And she worked extremely hard to kind of lay the groundwork for it. But we didn't have the funding to actually implement it. So we were able to partner with CREA to come up with the dollars to pay for facilitators, to pay for the buses, to pay for food for people to eat. And we were able, after a couple of years, to kind of get it going. And so the whole idea, Don, is for two neighborhoods who probably have never visited the other neighborhood to actually come together, to talk, to break bread together, to visit each neighborhood to get a look to see what's going on north, what's going on further north, or what's going on south, what's going on further south, to bring those groups together and to discuss different topics, different ideas, and also to get away from the Channel 2, the Channel 4, and the Channel 5 viewpoint of those particular neighborhoods so they can actually visit those neighborhoods and see that really we're not that much different.
Very quickly, what do you mean by the television station's viewpoint?
Well, the only thing that they see on those 2, 4, and 5 are the gunshots, the bad things. That's the only thing they see. So if you're coming from a particular neighborhood, you say, oh, wow, I just saw where somebody got shot there. But that's not all that goes on in those neighborhoods. So we wanted to get beyond what you see on TV and actually dig down a little bit. And what we're finding out from the three events that we've had so far is that really whether you're black, white, Latino, you still want the same thing. You want to live in a nice, decent neighborhood. You want your kids to be able to go to school. You want to have a decent job. You want to have decent housing. Whatever color you are, and that transcends zip codes. That's what people want.
I've never quite understood why television stations in particular feel compelled to spend the first 5 or 7 minutes of their newscasts on crime news.
It doesn't serve anything.
No, it doesn't serve anything at all.
Yeah.
Charles Bryson, let me turn to you. What is your agency's involvement in this?
Well, for CREA, we actually sort of parallel situation where my board and I, over the course of our retreat, talked about how do we create more outreach, and more importantly, how do we engage neighborhoods and people in dialogue. One of our missions is to reduce and eliminate discrimination. Well, we believe that in order to do that, people have to come together and have conversation. So actually, one of my board members said, well, I think SLACO tried to do something a year ago. Let's look them up and see what happens. So for us, it is a matter of allowing neighborhoods to know who each other are in a much better way, much more intimate way, as we begin to move down the road toward reducing discrimination and to increase in racial equity.
Yeah. Not everybody may be familiar with the acronym CREA. What is that?
It is the Civil Rights Enforcement Agency for the City of St. Louis. And what we basically do is we enforce a number of different laws, rules, and regulations, fair housing, equal employment, and public accommodation and financial services being the big four.
Okay. Rodney, let me turn to you. You've been an active participant in this program. What drew you to it?
Well, when I first heard about the program, I was among the first to volunteer the West End neighborhood. Being the neighborhood leader, it's essential that we market our neighborhood. We are just north of the Delmar, I'll say Divide, the trolley is coming, and we have some great assets in our community. So it's important that we market that out to others in the city, as well as people who live in the neighborhood, because there was a lot that I learned as far as putting together our tour about some of the historical significance in our neighborhood as far as the cinder block or the concrete block neighborhoods, the Hamilton Hotel, the Thomas Link House, and some of the other assets that we have in the neighborhood. So it helps the people who live in the neighborhood to become, you know, prideful of where they live, and it helps market to those outside of the neighborhood.
What neighborhood neighborhoods have you visited as part of this?
I have visited, and I'm wearing two hats. I'm a participant of the Neighborhoods United for Change, and I'm also participating in the Regional Arts Commission Community Arts Training Institute. So on the RAC side, I visited the Ville, Dutchtown, and most recently we were at Ferguson, Berkeley, and Dellwood. But as far as the Neighborhoods United for Change, the West End partnered with Tower Grove East.
Uh-huh. What did you learn?
We just learned that there are a lot of similarities and there are some differences, and the same challenges exist in every neighborhood. The intent was to show the good, the bad, and the ugly in the neighborhoods, not show anything. But personally, when I went to Tower Grove East, to me, that neighborhood, it appeared to me at least that the residents were more involved in their neighborhood. But in talking to those on the Tower Grove team, they have the same challenges that the West End, where you have only a few people that are participating in the process and everyone else is outside looking in. And, you know, we have to fight, you know, for what we want. And if you aren't willing to fight for what you want, you have to settle for what the decisions that the other people, you know, make.
Get involved or somebody else will make the decisions for you.
That is very true.
Kevin, what kind of turnout have you had so far?
We've had an excellent turnout, Don. We really haven't tried to have real big numbers because we wanted to be very impactful. So we're kind of set up to have groups of 20. One neighborhood would have 20, another neighborhood would have 20. And we've been averaging somewhere between 14 and 15. So it's been a nice group. The facilitators have been able to work real well with the smaller groups. The first group we had out, it was a really nice size group, had about 15 per side. The second group we had about 8 per side. And then the last group that they were about 9 per side. So that's kind of where we want to be. We don't want to be too big because we don't want the breakdown of the conversations. We've talked to all our neighborhoods. We said a minimum of 5. That's the smallest that your group can be is 5, and a maximum of about 15. So then if we have 15 and 15, that gives us 30, you know, that kind of thing. And then we don't want to overwhelm one neighborhood. Say one neighborhood shows up with 5, another neighborhood shows up with 15. The one with 15 is going to pretty much dominate the conversation. So we're telling our groups, and they've been great. The leaders of these groups have been great to work with. They've been keeping a real good tab on their groups, trying to keep them even. And it's been working out extremely well. The facilitators are really enjoying the activity that they get with the groups, and the groups are having a lot of fun. We've had, as I was telling some folk, where it's really not a real kid-friendly event, but we've had a couple of teenagers that have been out, and they've really enjoyed it. So, you know, if you want to get involved in this effort, it would be great to go to our website, slaco-mo.org, or you can call 314-308-9894, and we can get you set up with a group. And we're looking to expand this. We're hoping that next year, right now we've got 14 different groups, so we're hoping that we can expand that next year. We'd like to get it up to the point where SLACO's membership is made up of 30 neighborhoods, so we'd at least like to serve all 30 of those. But we've also been able to bring in some groups that are outside of SLACO, and they've had a good time.
And you've got a couple more tours coming up.
We've actually got 5 more tours left. Okay.
We'll put all of the information you just gave us with regard to contacts on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Not everybody's equipped with a pen or pencil as they're driving to lunch to write this sort of stuff down. So we'll have it there. Charles Bryson, what have you learned through this process?
I think the first thing I've learned is people, no matter who they are willing and want to communicate with somebody else. We have seen an incredible amount of conversation on the bus tour, so much that we have to quiet people down so that they can actually, the facilitator can actually do their job. The second thing is, as Rodney said, the similarities. And when they talk, it's a very candid conversation. There's been no politicians and no elected officials, whoever. It's just neighborhood residents. And they've been very candid about what their needs are and how the similarities and some of the differences play out.
They know you're coming. It's not like you just drop in and look for people on the street to talk to.
Right. They actually sign up. They get SLACO about 8:30. We do a little briefing and what's going to happen for that day. They take the bus tour on both neighborhoods get a chance to talk about their neighborhood, and then we have the facilitated lunch. So they know what to expect. They know what's coming, and they have been wonderful. So much so that they've exchanged phone numbers. And you have a situation where some neighborhoods want to go visit the other neighborhood, their neighborhood meeting, and vice versa. We've had some of that exchange as well. So it has been a great experience. And it really shows that at the end of the day, much like Kevin said, people are just people, and they all want the same thing.
I have to take a break momentarily, but how long a process is it? Is it several hours, a couple hours?
It's several hours. It's usually from 8:30 to 12:30. Yeah. And so people are giving up their Saturday, and some of the days have been beautiful, but they are giving up their Saturday to take part in this process.
Well, when it's a pretty day, there's nothing wrong with going from neighborhood to neighborhood.
That's a nice thing to do. And they're enjoying it, too. They really are.
Let's take a break now. We'll come back and continue our conversation. We're talking about Neighborhoods United for Change. It's a program run by SLACO here in the city of St. Louis, getting people of diverse neighborhoods together and get the opportunity to learn more about each other. My guests in studio are Kevin McKinney, SLACO's executive director. Charles Bryson is with us, executive director of the St. Louis Civil Rights Enforcement Agency. And Rodney Norman is also with us. He's a West End resident and a participant in this program we're talking about. Back to continue the conversation in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Kevin McKinney, Charles Bryson, and Rodney Norman. Rodney, let me turn to you. And before I do, I want to give our phone number because I want to give folks in the listening audience an opportunity to get into the conversation. 382-8255 is the number. That's 382-TALK, or you can send us a tweet at STL on Air. We're talking about bringing neighborhoods closer together. Rodney, I'm interested in some of the conversations you have had as you visited the south side of the city. You told me about what's going on where you hail from. What about some of the meaningful conversations you've had?
Well, one thing that was brought to my attention when we toured Tower Grove East, and on major intersections on either all 4 or 3 of the corners, there are businesses. You know, it could be a restaurant, it could be a bar. It could be some other type of service business. And when I think in terms of the West End, those businesses existed once upon a time, but a lot of those buildings have been demolished. Mm. So when you have commerce and you have a place for people to meet and socialize, that helps solidify the neighborhood. People are able to meet and dialogue with other people. And it's about bringing a neighborhood together. Because ideally, we have to work toward putting the neighbor back in the hood. You know, we've lost that. So many people live in a neighborhood, they may live next to each other, and they don't really know their neighbors. So it's about getting to know your neighbors. My wife and I, we walk on the Ruth Porter Mall, which spans 9 blocks in the West End neighborhood. And we meet people every day, you know, walking along. And it's about reaching out. It's one young man that I met one day in my neighborhood, and I saw him. He's of Asian descent, not that that matters, but he was approaching me and he had a camera. And I'm like, well, why does he have this camera? And he told me he has an initiative to meet 100 strangers. There's a 100 stranger project. Mm. And he approached me, he shared the project, and he asked, could he take my picture? I said, well, how many pictures have you taken so far? He said, one. So we spent about 15 or 20 minutes. He put it out on Flickr. And then he talked with my wife. So my charge now is to more or less encourage other people to talk with him such that he can achieve his goal of 100 strangers. So you just think if everyone had an initiative to meet 100 or 10 or 20 or whatever, then we begin to move outside our comfort zone. And as Charles says, then we recognize people are just people. You know, we want the same thing. We have a lot in common. And we can meet people that really have skill sets that could really benefit us. Or we have skill sets that could benefit them. And then it's all about connecting the dots.
Charles, it's amazing, isn't it, how often when people do get to know each other just a little bit, how prejudices and biases kind of go away?
It is, and I think part of that is people are willing to have meaningful conversation, not just the fluff, but when you drive down a neighborhood and you see that there's no businesses, you don't blame anyone. You learn and you understand how that particular neighborhood got that way. And the opposite is when you see a bunch of businesses, how did that neighborhood strive that way? And I think, you know, we are moving forward, I think, on two fronts. One is we want to hold some sort of year-end activity where we can get as many of the neighborhood residents who have taken part as possible together and do a session all day. The second thing is, and I've told Kevin this, if CREA has any dollars, we're going to do this again next year. We have, if you think about it, we will probably end up with 10 or 12 neighborhoods this year because we have 79 neighborhoods in St. Louis. Yeah. We got plenty to go.
Yeah. Kevin McKinney, Charles has just alluded to this, but I wanted to ask you about a mechanism for follow-up. It's one thing to have this initial contact, but what then? I mean, does it just stop or is there a way to continue it?
No, I think that it will be imperative for SLACO to strive to continue the conversations neighborhood to neighborhood, but we also want to move into other neighborhoods. And I think that the end of the year kind of get together with all the participants will be a good thing. I was just looking over the list of potential groups that are coming in. We have Revitalization of Baden Association, a group in Baden. They're going to be meeting with Tower Grove South as well as Tower Grove Heights. We've got Holly Hills and Lewis Place coming together. The next one coming up, which will be this Saturday, will be the JVL neighborhood in Forest Park Southeast. And I just got a text where each of those are feeling that they're going to be right around 12 per team. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that when we finish this up, which will probably be November the 5th, then we'll come together and bring all the leaders and all the groups together in November to have a nice facilitated conversation on what all went on and how are you. And then we're going to try to lead those groups to continue to talk to each other, continue to work with each other, and then set up the scenario to open up some new conversations with new neighborhoods getting together.
Sounds like it's been pretty well thought out.
Well, we're working on it.
Let's take some calls. We'll start with John joining us from Maplewood. John, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Thanks, Don, and thanks to the guests. This is obviously to me, and I had this idea several years ago, and I couldn't, and I'm a white person, I couldn't find enough white people, I couldn't find anybody to ride in the bus to North St. Louis to get out and purchase something at one of the black-owned businesses. They refused. They had all kinds of excuses, but they refused to. So what you guys have implemented is the best idea I've heard ever, I think. This is...
John?
Hold on. This is the best idea I've heard. And what we need to do, a positive from this will rebuild communities. To just get out and purchase something and talk to people and do it like once a week, because we just don't do that. I am talking about white people. They refuse to purchase things from black-owned businesses in North St. Louis. They go everywhere else and spend money. So this is a great thing you're doing. And the second thing, which is a negative, and which we can build on, I hope, and eliminate, the negative was I listened to a right-wing radio station 5 years ago that did a survey, an online survey, where you text in your answer anonymously. The question was, if a black person moved next door to you, would you stay or move away? And it was horrible because 67% of the responders said they had moved out of their neighborhood, and they were shocked almost. And I was even shocked it was that high. So we need to get a lot done, and this is the best idea I've ever heard.
John, thank you so much for the call. Sure. Gentlemen, have you run into this where one group or another doesn't even want to become associated with the other?
Well, go ahead. So far, from the groups that we've been talking to and discussing, that has not happened. I think that one of the things that SLACO is good about is trying to bring different people together and trying to bring different neighborhoods together, because we are, with the 30 neighborhoods that we work with, it's pretty diverse and it's a big group. And SLACO is kind of that place where you can come and you're not worried about, you know, being intimidated or beat up on or anything like that. So we haven't really had or seen or heard of those issues. But obviously, Don, you know, segregation in St. Louis is here, is prevalent. And I think we're running across groups of people that are saying that we shouldn't live like that anymore. Let's flip the script. And that's what's happening.
Rodney, I noticed you shaking your heads as you were listening to our caller there. You seemed very disappointed in what he had to say. But
No, not so much. I was just thinking, my wife and I, we lived in Texas for, say, 26 years. And we lived in an upper middle class neighborhood. And we were typically the only minorities in that neighborhood. Yeah. And there were some people we could tell that were not happy with us being in the neighborhood. But by the time we moved, they did not want us to move. Yeah. So when people get to know each other and they recognize that we all want the same thing, we're all good people, you know, for the most part, then, you know, once you recognize that, you forget about the color and you just enjoy each other. And it was so funny because before we returned to St. Louis, they had a going away party for us because we thought we had sold the house. And then the deal fell through and they said, great, we'll just have another one. So, I mean, that just goes to show that, you know, yes, we do have challenges, but, you know, we have things to be happy about that are going on in the world.
Charles, you were wanted to respond to the caller.
First of all, I thank the caller, and I certainly appreciate the kudos for the work that we're doing. But we do realize that we are a long way from being unsegregated, and it's just going to, you know, day in and day out and day in and day out to have people reach across the aisle. I lived in a city years ago where the dividing line was Highway 40. And so I know and understand what that mm-hmm. racial element looks like. And I think, you know, with Kevin's help and SLACO, we can begin to bridge some of those divides and have people understand what it means just to be a resident of the city of St. Louis and all that it offers.
The turmoil that this community has experienced over the last couple of years, does that help or hurt? Is it a setback for what you're trying to do?
I say it helps. And the reason I say that is flowers come out of dirt. And I think for us, it's a matter of taking this situation and allowing people to have legitimate, honest conversation about how they feel and what they think about their neighborhood and any other neighborhood. And I think out of that, you get people to say, well, you know, I didn't agree with everything you said, but there was this kernel, and therefore this seed of hope that we can begin to hang on to.
And you give people the opportunity to talk about right and wrong. And when people, you know, somebody asked me the question, was this, is this going to help eliminate having demonstrations and protesting and things like that? No, maybe this is going to add to the fact that people will find out what's right and what's wrong, and demonstrating and protesting can help make those changes. It's not about trying to eliminate demonstrations or protesting. What this is all about is getting people to understand why people demonstrate and why people are protesting, and maybe understand that if you're not protesting or demonstrating now, we're going to be protesting, demonstrating for you. You know what I'm saying? So it's not about trying to shut down anything. It's more about opening up people's eyes and opening up their minds to actually hear why people do what they do, and to understand why people do what they do.
And not only to hear, to Kevin's point, but also to see. And that was the part of the tour. They get to see the conditions that some people live in, and then offer how can we help?
Right. And I would like to add that events spark change. You know, sometimes you have to have an event, and sometimes those events are major, they're impactful, they're hurtful. But out of that event, change can occur.
Let's take another call. This one will come from the Illinois side of the river. William joins us from Collinsville. William, go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I've begun a nonprofit organization called Judas Generation, and my goal is to visit 50 different churches in the St. Louis metropolitan area. What sparked this is something that your prosecuting attorney said during the protest in Ferguson, and he said, if you don't like the laws, change them. But one of the things that he did was when he convened a grand jury, he runs out to South St. Louis County, and he gets the jurists from there. So I've been to around 32 different churches in the St. Louis metropolitan area, and I can definitively tell you why he goes to St. Louis County, South County, to get his jurors. In out of 32 churches, and I'm talking about very nice sized churches of 1,000 members and over. How to put this nicely? South County is one of the. I really can't put this nicely. The pastoral ministry in South County is wanting, and it is lacking the leadership that is supposed to be given from above the other church.
William, thank you for the call. Our time's getting away. Let's get a response to that. Does the religious community come into this this project of yours at all?
Well, we have people that are members of churches, obviously, and synagogues that come to our event. We made a concerted effort that we didn't want to involve the electeds in this particular event because we wanted people to have open dialogue, and we didn't want them to be stifled when they're sitting on a bus next to their alder person or next to some elected official. So we made a concerted effort not to do that. We had talked about trying to bring more church leadership and more churches to get involved. But we're kind of not reaching out to organizations, but more to individual people that are in the community as opposed to organizations. So, you know, that could be something that we could look at. But when you look at St. Louis, it's been told to me that of all the churches that we have in St. Louis, that the membership is actually from outside of St. Louis.
Uh-huh. Any other thoughts on that?
No, that's true. On any given Sunday, most of the people in the churches in the city of St. Louis come from outside the St. Louis area.
Yeah, we're going to have to wrap this up now, but I'll ask for a final thought from each of you briefly, if you would. Charles, let me start with you.
Well, first of all, thank you, Don. I think that we are on a path to beginning to transform St. Louis, and I appreciate Kevin for the partnership, and I think good things are going to come out of this, not in the short term and in the long term.
Rodney?
I would agree with that. Ideally, we want to continue the conversation well beyond the tour And that's why the West End team is looking forward to visiting Tower Grove East. And conversely, we would like for them to come to the West End and continue that conversation, that dialogue, and identify the best practices from the two neighborhoods that we can implement in the other neighborhoods and share with the group as a whole.
Kevin?
This really came in from the aftermath of the death of Mike Brown. And we knew that we wanted to open up dialogue with conversation, and with all the deaths that have happened since then from people of color as well as our police officers, we felt that we needed to continue a conversation and that we must open up neighbors to neighbors. So we think that this neighborhood United for Change can be the vehicle used to learn from each other and listen to each other, and we're very thankful that CREA came on board to assist us, and we thank you for having us on your program. And it's always a pleasure to have participants of programs to get involved. And Rodney, we appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to be here as well.
Well, I want to thank you, Kevin McKinney, for being with us. Kevin is SLACO's executive director. Rodney Norman is a resident of the West End, a participant in the Neighborhoods United for Change program. And Charles Bryson is executive director of St. Louis City's Civil Rights Enforcement Agency. Thank you so much for being with us. Good luck with the project.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you have good weather for the next several tour events. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.